Hello, and welcome to The Purpose. I'm Bill Brunson.
I'm John Sweeney.
I'm Kip McClure.
And I'm Scott Barnes.
And today we'll be looking at a passage from the Old Testament. Back in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 12, beginning in the first verse. God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." Well, this month, as we've been looking at how we can be influencers in the world around us, we can pick up the most common phrase that's attached to Abraham, or Abram, in this passage, and that is that Abram would be blessed in order to be a blessing. That God would bless him, and through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And so Abram had the opportunity to answer the call to follow God, to do what God was calling him to do, and through that faithfulness, God would bless others through him. And so Abram was influencing the world around him. And Abram continues to influence people even today as we think about his faithfulness, his willingness to leave his country, his family, his father's home, to go somewhere that God was calling him that he didn't really have a clue where that was or what that was going to look like or how far he would travel. But he knew that God was calling him to be a blessing. And so if we're going to influence our world, God's still calling us to do the same thing. To be a blessing in his name. So what does it mean to y'all for someone to be blessed to be a blessing? Not all at once. don't be rude to each other like that. I mean, come on.
Well, I think back to a person who once told me, and I've heard several people say, you know, God gave this car that I have, I feel like I'm supposed to use it for God's purposes, and they did. And when our home that you know we are blessed to have, we've been able to give people respite at different times in their journeys. And that didn't have home at that moment. And I've seen that. I've seen people in our congregation and other congregations who have lake homes or properties, and they allow the church to use it for retreats or that sort of thing. So it's possible for people to kind of look at what they've been given. If it may be quantities of money, it may be certain gifts and talents, but they've realized that, hey, I can use this to bless someone else. And it's fascinating when I see people who do that and the joy that it brings them.
Yeah, one of the things that I've picked up on, even beginning just with the Abram story in this early text in Genesis, is that blessings, in as a gift from God, then require an action. That a blessing isn't to simply be received, but there is an active step that comes in this blessing. I mean, with Abram, the blessing is this, the nations will be blessed, the world will be blessed because of him, but you have to go. Mm-hmm. You have to go and leave, and there may be discomfort in that. I read a great analogy of that blessings are very much like the heart, in that the heart, you can't store a blessing, you can't store, it doesn't do any good. Just to hold on to it and do nothing with it. And the heart doesn't store blood. It brings blood in and it sends blood out. And it's similar in that blessing is that those blessings that we receive require us to do something with them, paying them forward in this case as we're talking through what Abram did and what the blessings like Abram's throughout the scriptures have shaped for us today.
I mean, I think even looking just sort of at the entire, for me, this is almost, it's one of those passages that's scary to think about, the idea that, like, all right, we're called to, you're either going to be a blessing in someone's life or you're going to be nothing or you're going to be the complete opposite. And if you look at sort of the story of Scripture, even starting here, God selects Abram for this purpose, to go out and to be a blessing to all people, and those of whom he blesses, God will bless, and all that. And you see that sort of play out throughout the rest of the Old Testament, then getting into the New Testament, where it's now that through Jesus there are blessings that are flow upon the world, and that God uses us to be the arbiters of those blessings. And I don't know, I think a lot about different times in my life, and I think sometimes we think about how we can bless other people as being like really positive and all that, but to be honest with you, at least in my life, some of the people that have blessed me the most have been the ones that have walked with me through difficult times, have stood there and said, you know what, I've been there, have almost been sort of, there's almost been a vulnerability with their struggles in life, and that's almost been a more enriching blessing in my life than them. So I even think, God using some of our greatest struggles to be blessings in other people's life is one of the greatest ministries that we can do.
Yeah, I think that there's so many ways that we can be a blessing to others. And we get in our head what it has to look like. But it's not the grand gesture. It can be the simple things. Taking time, spending time with someone, actually listening, stopping and caring. These are not grand gestures. They don't require advanced degrees. They don't require that you know all the answers of all the scripture. They just require that you open your ears, put down your phone, and pay attention for a minute to someone pour their heart out. And you're in that moment, maybe the greatest blessing that person has received in days. There are a lot of ways that we can be a blessing. Now, when you get over into the New Testament, when you tie this idea of being blessed to be a blessing into the New Testament, and you look at sort of the overarching theme that runs through especially the epistles of the New Testament, the greatest blessing we receive is our relationship with Christ, that we are blessed to be called the sons and daughters of God, that we are blessed by the fact that Jesus dies for our sins, that we are blessed by the promise of eternal life, that we are blessed by that relationship with him, but also that relationship with his body, the church. And so, in that, if we are blessed to be a blessing, then we are called then to share that relationship with Christ with other people in some way, form, or fashion, so that they too can be blessed.
Well, I think this kind of, I'm involved with a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and one of the things that's been brought up by this mostly younger group of people, when we sort of talk about discipleship and what this looks like and sort of living this out there, one of the things they always talk about is, well, I don't feel equipped because I don't know the Bible well enough, or I don't know enough theology, or I don't pray well enough. So how do I do this? How can I be, an actual, disciple, blessing person to the people that I work with and all that? And I think it seems clear in all the passages that we've read in this sermon series, and then looking at this one particularly, the greatest gift, and you're right, the greatest gift that we can do is really show people what it looks like to know Jesus, honestly, like through how we care and how we love them in all their circumstances. It's not about, and listen, I obviously, everybody here, we all love the Bible. Let's just be clear, let's get that out. But it's not about how much, I know there are people in this world that know the Bible frontwards and backwards who are blessing nobody.
True.
And there are people who know zero words of it who are blessing people more than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so it literally is about like the contents of your heart and living that out in the world. Way more so than tangibly what your knowledge level is. I mean, that's how this works. Everyone is capable of blessing the people in their lives just by how they love and care for them.
And that type of blessing and how we live speaks so much more loudly than anything else we do. If people have a sense that you truly care about them, that what I found for some people who don't feel safe in society. Somebody's gonna say something about them or judge them. For them to feel that you love them and care for them, and you're not going to be that person that's harmful to them. It's amazing how much of even something small like that is a blessing to somebody.
Yeah, I feel this this real kind of connection between this idea of nonconformity that we've reflected on in the last podcast, and this idea of a blessing in the sense of who we are as disciple makers, that the world wants to see a blessing as a monetary promise, a monetary gain. You know, when somebody's being questioned about how their year went, well, boy, our business did great. We are really blessed. And yes, there's perhaps some truth to that, but the challenge I think that we have as a congregation and as a people who are really wanting to dive into discipleship making, this idea of nonconformity in a blessing is that the blessing has nothing to do with something of tangible gain. It is, like Bill mentioned, that ability and willingness to spend time with people. It's that ability to say, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to walk along with you to help find it. The willingness to be a nonconformist in the sense of not allowing the definition of blessing to be limited to money or to gains or to the size of our house or even the size of our congregation. You know, we've had a lot of conversation with a lot of people over the last couple of years about how incredible the Holy Spirit has been moving in this church, and it doesn't need to end with, gosh, that it's a real blessing. It is, and we have an action behind that we continue to move in that direction of making disciples.
John, you're never going to fly in a Gulfstream talking like that. That's not how you know.
That's true.
But, I mean, I think going off that, I mean, going back to just the text itself, and you mentioned this earlier, that there is that, like, that move that has to happen on our part in order for this to work. Like, you're right. God promises Abram all these incredible things, which some of them are crazy given that he doesn't have kids.
Right.
I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. Well, right now his name's going to die off, and he's already, I think, 75 years old.
Yeah.
But there's a requirement of him, hey, you got to move. You got to leave everything you've ever known, leave your comfort zone, leave all this stuff in order for this to happen. And I think that's kind of like the big part for all of us, because I know, you know, for me, sitting still and doing nothing, it's kind of big. I like that. Mm-hmm. And getting out of my comfort zone is not the most fun thing.
Yeah, the first place that Abram buys after he says, yes, I'll go. I'll leave everything. I'll follow you. I want to be blessed, to be a blessing. You know, I'll do all that. The first place that he buys is when he gets to the promised land, and he buys the land that contains the cave where he'll be buried. I mean, that's the first place he buys. And which shows he has followed faithfully, willing to keep going. He stayed nimble so that God could keep using him. And, you know, we have to be willing to be a blessing. And we also have to understand that, as we've said here, it's not that just when your business is booming that you're blessed. You can be blessed when your business is failing. Mm-hmm. I knew a woman in a church I served one time. She had nothing. She lived in a house that was basically just completely falling down. I mean, it was in poor condition. But she would collect seeds throughout the year, and she would, every spring, she would plant flowers. And she would grow flowers, and then she would take those flowers around to women, you know, men and women in the church who were sick. And if they were sick in the home, she would take them a bouquet of flowers from her yard. Well, one year, And, you know, whenever I would talk to her and ask her, how are you doing, when she would come in church on Sunday morning, she would always answer the same way. I am blessed beyond measure. Mm-hmm. You know, and she would talk about some, you know, she got to go visit with somebody that week, and it was so wonderful, et cetera. Well, one year she planted all her flowers and they were all coming up and everything was great. But we live in Alabama. And one of those late frosts came through and wiped out every flower in her yard. Everything gone. And all of us immediately woke up that morning, saw the frost on the land, and realized her flowers are gone. You know, because it just hit every one of us. And so later in that day, I went by her house because I was driving through the community, and I stopped by her house and asked, how are you doing? You know, I'm so sorry. I know the frost had to do its job here like it did on everybody else's, at everybody else's place. And she replied, I'm blessed beyond measure. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry. You don't have any more flowers. And she said, no, but that's okay. Do you realize all day long, people have been stopping by here and telling me how sorry they are about my flowers? And it just shows how much people care about me. Mm-hmm. She said, and you're here. And, you know, it's just continuing. And before I was pulling out of the driveway, another car was turning in the driveway, somebody else going by to see her. And people were dropping off seeds, and they were bringing flowers from the local nursery and things like that to give her. I mean, it was, she was blessed beyond measure. She wasn't wealthy, never would be wealthy. But she was blessed in her own way and found great joy by blessing others. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you live your life that way, seeing yourself as blessed because you're in a relationship with God and that God is going to work in you to allow you to bless others in His name. That's phenomenal that we get to do that.
You know, I'm amazed at the journeying partner that Abram got to have in this, and that his nephew Lot comes along, and Abraham was a blessing to Lot. I mean, he gave him the best of the land. He rescued him many a time, tried to keep him straight. And it's just kind of a reminder that sometimes when we're trying to be a blessing, it doesn't always turn up beautifully. It certainly didn't with Lot. But that we're still called to bless people and called to be that person, no matter what the return is, because sometimes the return is not there.
You know, I not to take the away from the depth of theology in this room, but there was a moment, you know, several years ago, this Pay It Forward kind of campaign became kind of a popular movement where, you know, you would do things like pay for the car behind you in the drive-thru. And there was also, it was also in kind of a time when there had been some type of unfortunate incident, some type of police shooting where several police had been shot. I don't remember the exact situation, but it was several years ago, and I was at a drive-thru, and there was a law enforcement officer behind me in line. And I thought, well, this is the best time that I've ever, like the most opportune time. And so I said to the attendant at the window, I said, I'd like to pay for the officer's meal behind me. And they processed it. And I pulled out onto Highway 31, and I was headed downtown. And shortly thereafter, minutes later, my phone buzzed, and I had received a message on my Facebook app. And at a red light, because I wouldn't do it while driving.
Oh, no. Of course. Never. Yeah.
I checked the message, and it was from the officer who had run my tag, searched me on social media, found me to thank me. And I thought, well, you didn't need to thank me, but now you know everything about me. So, you know, paying it forward can have a bit of a risk in that, yeah. You know, but it was a kind of a neat moment of you know, the intent, but also the seeing the kind of the benefit or the response from it as well.
During all that, there was a church in town. I won't say which one it is, but it's a relatively big one, who every year would do something like that, and I would get someone from that church to tell me when that was happening. So I would go to Chick-fil-A and say, just like pray that in like three different times, someone like, oh yeah, they wanted to pay for it, and here's this card to invite you to their worship service. Like, oh wow. And I just go on. I got free meals out of it.
Was that the sermon good?
It forward. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't
pay it forward. You just,
yeah, yeah, I didn't pay it forward. I just got it.
Well, see, I always got confused blessing. Because I would just send my bill to someone else. Yeah. Because I wanted them to have a chance to be a blessing. Yeah. You know, I just send right. It's right. You know, just here's my bill. You could pay that and it'll be a blessing to you. It was close.
Right.
But the idea of being blessed to be a blessing, it sounds really big and daunting. Being blessed, all of mean that sound, that's very churchy sounding, very hyper religious sounding. Being blessed to be a blessing, but it means that God has loved you, so love other people. It means God's working in your life. Invite other people to engage with God. You know, you have the experience of being in the church, in the body of Christ, and finding your place and experiencing that community that God puts around you, that holds you up. Invite somebody else into that community to come and be a part of that. It's, you know, the amazing part of being blessed, yes, that is overwhelming, that God loves us that much, that God will bless us. But blessing others in His name, it's not that complicated, and it can be very simple. It can be buying a meal for somebody. It could be as simple as inviting somebody from work or from school or in your friend group to come to church. It could be as easy as, rather than telling somebody that you're thinking about them when they unload whatever's going on in their life, simply saying, I'm praying for you. To let them know that I'm going to talk to God about your situation. That's a blessing. And these little things are easy if we're willing to do them. Abram was faithful. He was faithful to leave his land, to follow God, to wander around until finally God took him to the promised land. And there his people established their home, and it's their home even till today. And through Abram, a country came. There was no way for it to happen when he is a 75-year-old man with a 70-something-year-old wife and no kid. He saw it as, everybody saw it as an impossibility. Nothing's impossible with God. Suddenly there's a nation. And so God can do amazing things if we're faithful, if we realize that we're blessed. And if we look for the big ways and the very simple little ways to bless others in His name, He can do a lot. So I hope as you go through your week this week that you will remember that you truly are blessed, that God loves you, that God has sent His Son for you, God has welcomed you in, will either has or wants to welcome you into the church, into the body of Christ. And that God calls you to be a blessing, to share that with other people in big ways, in small ways, significant ways, and insignificant ways. Be a blessing in His name.
And if you want to be a blessing, maybe right after 21 Days of Prayer at 7 o'clock in the morning at the Chick-fil-A right here in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, I know someone that will be there that would love to be blessed by you.
Amen.
And he'll be in a Subaru.